We are going to continue from the previous sharing about how to raise a teenager. Last time I've shared that oftentimes there is a different home atmosphere from parents who came from more rural areas. These parents really don't expect much from their sons and daughters. They would tell them that you don't have to study because you can work in the fields. And the funny thing is this, these teenagers, they're very motivated to study hard because they know that if they don't study hard, they will end up staying at home and working in the fields. On the other hand, many parents here are investing lots of money in your sons and daughters after school programs, such as tutoring, etc. You expect them to not only be excellent in English, they will also need to know Spanish or French as well. I know you meant well for them, and you want them to be best of the best. But I feel so bad for them. I feel like they are carrying such a heavy burden at a young age. Parents, I urge you to think about what you really want your sons and daughter to have. What is the most important thing that they cannot be without? You shouldn't expect them to be good at everything. To know how to play the piano, the violin, to be excellent athletes, to excel academically in English, math, and science. And what's more, they must love everything. Oh, wait. They must know the Bible and love the Lord too. Parents, this is ideal, but not realistic. Some of you might say, I only want one thing. But I also want something else too. Oh, wait, there's something else I like as well. Before you know it, you probably have a list of 10 different items that you're expecting them to excel at. Let's view this from a different perspective. If your son or daughter gets sick or starts having depressions, you would probably realize that their academic achievements doesn't mean much. And the most important thing is their health. Whatever that it is you're doing, if you continue to push them hard, they may get sick. They may develop depression. And some may even have suicidal thoughts. I'm not sure if you're aware, but did you know that some teenagers in the Bay Area have already attempted suicides? So therefore, parents, what is the most important thing that you care about for your child? A teenager shared this with me. You told them that God has given them 5 talents so abundantly because you're able to provide for them and give them a good learning environment. You told them to utilize the 5 talents that they have and not let it go to waste by doing everything well. Another teenager asked for you to stop reminding them how important it is to go to a good school, because they have heard it repeatedly and their teachers are constantly reminding them about it. He said that he's already doing his best. Another one shared that if they didn't do well on a quiz, you would tell them that they are stupid and that they wouldn't be able to go to Stanford University. And that if they continue to not do well, you will move back to Taiwan. And some of you have told your teenager that it is honorable if they were to go directly to a 4-year university, and that they are second-class citizen if they were to attend a local junior college for 2 years and then transfer to a university. Remember what I've shared in the beginning. My parents were like that. Growing up, my dad never asked me about my homework and how I am doing academically. He would only tell me to go to sleep. He never gave me pressure to study or do well academically, and I grew up quite happily without pressure comparing to my peers. Parents, many of you are giving your teenager a lot of unnecessary pressure and burden on their shoulders. Just like a ball, the more pressure you push down on them, the higher they will bounce and react. As parents, the most important thing is to draw them to the Lord and let them do what they can to honor the Lord as sons and daughters of the Most High. Instead of putting them down, try telling them, do your best with whatever you have to do and do it for the Lord. If they are doing it for the Lord, they will not be stressed out, they won't be hurt, and they won't be influenced by the academic achievements of their peers. I want to spend a little time talking about how we can help them. One teenager shared that you have told him to work hard in school, and he got an A+ on his exam. After sharing his excitements with you, you patted his head and said, good job. He thought to himself, that's it? He was expecting a little bit more than that, so I asked him, "What were you hoping for?" And he responded, "I wish that he would take me out to play, take me out for a movie or dinner or something." Parents, if you want your child to do something and they do it well, reward them. And if you're going to reward them, make sure you make it happen. Some teenagers have shared that you always say you will take them out as a reward, but you're always just blowing smoke. For example, one commonly seen problem among teenagers is that they like to stay up late at night. A teenager shared that they have a lot of homework from school, and on top of schoolwork, you want them to learn and practice the piano. After piano, they still have a lot of homework to do, but yet you want them to go to bed early. They are trying their hardest, but can't seem to keep up with all the things requested of them. Parents, if you want to ask your son or daughter to go to sleep at a certain time, you must take the time to understand how much homework they have and be reasonable with your requests. One way to enforce these rules is to set up positive and negative reinforcements. If you want them to sleep by 11 o'clock, if they are not in bed by 11, deduct $1 from their weekly allowance. I would encourage you to do this in front of them. So when you're giving them their weekly allowance, pull the dollar before their eyes so it imprints it on their heart. Once you set a rule, you maintain the rule by keeping your word. But keep this in mind, that your request has to be reasonable and achievable, and this requires you to know how much homework they have on a daily basis. I am sure there are going to be days with exceptions to the rule, such as when the teacher decides to give them a lot of homework one day. Have mercy and don't punish them on those days. On the flip side, if they can follow the rule and sleep before 11 for the week, reward them. I'm going to share an experience I've had with my nephew. My second sister has 3 sons, and the first and second grew up to be very rebellious. So she decided to send her youngest to be with me, hoping that things would be different. He was a freshman in high school when he came, and I've made arrangements for him to stay at the house of brothers. During his time with us, he came to know the Lord and have been filled by the Holy Spirit. Even as a freshman, he had developed the habit of sleeping at 1 or 2 in the morning. Because sleeping late is not good for his health, so I told him that he needs to sleep by 11 p.m. Otherwise, I'm going to deduct his allowance whenever he stays up. I've asked the brothers at the house to keep him accountable and to let me know when he doesn't sleep by 11 p.m. And guess what happened? The brothers at the house told me that he told them, "Please don't say anything about me sleeping late, okay?" I realized that this method wasn't working for him. There was no way for me to keep an eye on him all night long. One day, I decided to have a talk with him about the pros and cons of his choices. I said to him, "Even though you're a teenager now, there are long-term consequences of sleeping late. If you continue to sleep late, it's going to muddy your mind and you won't be able to think clearly, and it's going to affect your memory and emotions. Your body is detoxing and regenerating in the middle of the night as you sleep. So if you're not asleep during those hours, you will possibly develop long-term health issues and your body will deteriorate. This is the reason why those people who work graveyard shifts age and their body deteriorate faster than others in their age group. You are now a teenager and can make your own decisions. So from this day forward, I'm not going to control what time you're going to bed or deduct your allowances anymore. I've told you the consequences of such behavior and you're going to be responsible for yourself. I know you're grown up and mature now and you can control your own actions and habits." After I said that to him, I went back to my room and I got on my knees and prayed. My heart was hurting so much. It was only then that I can sympathize with how a parent feels to really let go and allow the one they love to do anything they want. It wasn't easy for me to do, but I feel like this is the only way. I must let go and allow God to take over. Allow Him to be in control. You know, praise the Lord, a couple of years later, the brothers who were living with him told me that he is no longer staying up at night. Dear parents, the more you force your teenager to not do a certain thing, they will try to find loopholes or ways to do them in secret. For example, going to bed early, they may hide in their blankets so you can't see them, or wake up in the middle of the night and turn on their lights. There's no way for you to be by their sides 24/7, so you will have to give up your control and let them be responsible for their own actions. Tell them the pros and cons, let them decide, and pay the price on the decisions they are making. If you continue to use your authority to control them, they will hide things. They will do things behind your back. And eventually, whenever they are not with you anymore, such as going to college, they will change completely. So therefore, parents, utilize the teenage years that they are with you to let them practice these things, to have self-control and self-discipline, so that they can learn to be mature and responsible adults. I am going to talk a little bit more about my nephew. He started learning the piano when he was young. He was very talented and gifted and had the perfect pitch. While he was with us, I had arranged someone to continue to teach him piano. However, while he was in high school, many of his friends started working part-time, and he too wanted to work part-time at McDonald's, and he came to ask me for permission. I told him that if you're working at McDonald's, you're making a couple of dollars an hour. However, your parents are giving you the money, so money is not something you really lack. Why don't you continue to learn and practice piano? That way you have something under your belt when you grow up. To make the story short, eventually he got my okay and he decided to work part-time. These kinds of permission-granting conversation happened several times, and I came to realize that he would only ask me for permissions only to hear me say yes. So I decided to have another talk with him. I told him, "Honestly, you don't need to ask me for permission because you only want me to say yes. If I tell you no, you'll be saying, 'Please, please, can I go, please?' Therefore, what's the point? Going forward, you don't need to ask me anymore because I will just say yes because you want me to." Ever since that conversation, whenever he approached me, it was for something that he seriously wanted my opinion on. We respected each other, and I didn't have to use my authority to force him to do the things that he didn't want to, and we maintained a good relationship. Praise the Lord, he eventually became an elementary teacher and brought many of his students to know the Lord. Parents, when your son or daughter are in their teenage years, you have to let them make their own decisions. You have to learn to let go and not argue it out with them. Tell them about the pros and cons. Teach them biblical truth and let them decide for themselves. You may be wondering, where is the biblical truth in this? Well, I learned it from Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus never forced us to do anything. He gave his sermon. He said, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." Jesus never nagged. He didn't pull on anyone's ears to tell them, "You need to listen. You have to listen. You must listen or else." On a side note, I want to briefly talk about a conference we've had for our Pure Heart Singles group. At the end of the gathering, during our Q&A session, someone asked, "Pastor, after all your sharing about dating and relationship, how much of what you said do we need to follow?" My response to them was, "Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You don't have to listen to me or follow any of my instructions. You are totally free to do as you wish. I'm only sharing with you to tell you that what I think is right and what I learned from the Bible. So therefore, how much you're going to listen and follow, all of that is between your relationship with God." Dear parents, I am showing you ways to raise your sons and daughters, especially if they are teenagers. But if your child is under 12, set strict rules and have them listen to you down to the T. And remember not to discipline them out of the flesh. I've seen too many families totally reverse these stages. When the child is young, you allow them to do whatever they want as if you are respecting their decisions. As they grew older, you came to realize, "Oh no, I must do something before it's too late." You start using your authority to fix something that may have already been deeply rooted. It wouldn't work. It is already too late. If this is your situation, like I shared last time, you need to win them back with love. When you are talking with your teenagers, don't use an authoritative posture, but instead treat them like an adult and respect them. And this in return will help you gain respect from them. Talk to them and allow them to make their own choices and give them room to make mistakes. For example, don't tell them that they shouldn't date this person or that person. The more you say it, the more they may see each other in secret. You know, someone actually said this, "If my parents weren't so strongly against my relationship with my girlfriend, we probably wouldn't even be married now." He is now in regret, and what's worse, he is blaming his parents for it. You as a parent have the duty to teach them a principle and give them the freedom to choose. Teach them what it says in the Bible in Galatians 6, "You reap what you sow, and if you sow in the flesh, you will reap corruption. But the one who sows in the spirit will reap eternal life." There was another teenager that shared that you won't let them listen to their own music. You told them that if they want to listen to their music, they need to use headphones or earbuds. But you yourself is playing your music out loud on speakers. You made them feel like everything that they are doing is wrong and what they're doing is evil and whatever you're doing is quote-unquote holy. Parents, treat your teenagers with respect and don't make them feel like everything they are doing is bad. They need to know and feel that they are accepted as they are. On the other hand, the more you reject them, the more they will rebel against you. Another teenager shared that her mom has many faces and that you would put on different masks for different occasions. One for church, one for home, one for facing your husband, and one for facing her. I was sad when I heard that, because I feel like there must be some sort of misunderstanding between you two. She went on and said that you are kind when you're dealing with others, loving when you're facing your husband, and angry when you're facing them. They just don't understand. Well, there's probably because your emotions are like a roller coaster and they can pick up on the cues of your ups and downs. Parents, you need to have stable emotions. Don't lash out and discipline your son or daughter out of the anger of your flesh. You may be doing everything else right, but then they will likely remember the time or two that you responded in the flesh and hold that against you. I want to talk briefly about school dances. Some teenagers have shared that you forbid them to attend school dances because it's a bad thing to do. But the fact is that some school dances are well lit, and they usually have faculties walking around and securing the facility to make sure things are not inappropriate. Not all school dances are like the nightclubs and lounges where environment is dim and inappropriate things are happening. I encourage you to explore and understand the environment or situation before jumping to conclusion and provoke your son and daughter to anger. Some of you will hint your child about things that you don't like, hoping it will discourage them from doing it. For example, if you're allowing them to play video games for 30 minutes a day, don't tell them, "I actually don't want you to play." Parents, if you promise them something, be promise keepers without any strings attached, and don't try to give them a guilt trip. There's no need to hint things to them. A yes is a yes, and a no is a no, and stop beating around the bushes. When you're hoping to guide your teenager, the way and rules of discipline no longer work the way they did when they were young. They need your love and acceptance. Years ago, I've heard a testimony of these parents who had a teenage boy that liked growing out his hair. They had the hardest time accepting his long hair and was not very happy and would constantly make comments about boys should not have long hair, etc. Their son argued back and said that the Bible doesn't say anything about men keeping their hair long is a bad thing. And of all the pictures that I've seen, they all unanimously have long hair. His parents were speechless. They couldn't argue the fact that having short hair was their own preference. One day, the parents heard someone who shared a similar story with them. The speaker said that they absolutely cannot accept the fact that their son has long hair. And one day they say to him, "If you're not going to cut your hair, you can no longer live under this roof." Little did they know, their son packed up his things and left the house and did not return home for 20 years. Their son eventually changed his religious belief to Hinduism as well. The couple was shocked and decided that night that they didn't want to follow the footsteps of the speaker and eventually drive their son away. They went home and found an appropriate time to have a conversation with their son. They told him, "From this day forward, we will no longer talk about your hair. Whether they're long or short, it doesn't matter. We'll love you and accept you no matter what." The son smiled, but was also skeptical and replied, "Okay, sure. We'll see how long you're able to keep this up." The couple then went into their bedroom and prayed on their knees and prayed, "Lord, just like how you accepted and loved us as we are, we too will learn to unconditionally love our son in the same manner. We ask that your arms of grace will be upon him to lead him and mold him so that he may be able to glorify you and be used in your kingdom." Praise the Lord, the parents were able to keep their promise and no longer talk about their son's hair and was able to truly accept him as he is. One summer between the second and third year in college, their son had the opportunity to go on a mission trip in China. To their surprise, their son decided to cut his hair short, and so the parents asked him what prompted him to do so. He replied, "Well, Apostle Paul said he was becoming like those who he's going to be with in order to win some for the sake of the gospel. I'm going to China for a missions trip, and I don't want them to see me as different and hinder the gospel, so therefore I've cut my hair." Ever since that day, his hair remained short. Dear parents, accept and love your child as they are. Even though things may not be pleasing in your eyes, and if you don't have guidelines in the Bible against such behavior, just tell them about how you feel, and if they insist, let them be. Don't force it upon them. Love and accept them as they are, and your complete acceptance will bring forth true changes. Parents, maybe your son or daughter is blind. Maybe they're crippled or lame, or walking towards the darkness. But Jesus came to heal those who are blind and lame, and his mercy and love is enough for those who are in need. He wins back the hearts of the rebellious by his soft words and acts of mercy. So therefore, parents, let's learn from the examples of Jesus and win back your sons and daughters by love and acceptance and bring forth true changes. I want you to spend some time before the Lord and ask God to reveal to you the following things. How have you hurt your son and daughters by suppressing them? How have you provoked them to anger with your words? Are there anything you've said causing them to be more blinded and crippled? Parents, whatever mistakes you've made in the past is in the past, and you should not continue anymore. There are going to be times when you're going to be so upset at them, but I want to encourage you to leave the scene first. Go back to your room and come before the Lord and kneel and pray. "Jesus, Lord Jesus, I too must have these problems. So therefore, you're using my sons and daughters to reveal them to me. Forgive my sin for being rebellious." And after God has revealed to you in the area that you have hurt your son or daughter, find a time to talk to them. If you lash out in the emotions of your flesh, go and apologize to them and say, "I'm sorry that I screamed and yelled at you because I was angry. I was emotional and I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me?" Simply apologize and don't try to explain what happened. Don't provoke them to anger again by telling them that, "I was angry because you did this or you did not do that and you caused me to be so upset." Just tell them, "I am sorry and I should not have responded in this way. I was in a rush and I was frustrated. I'm asking you for your forgiveness. Would you please forgive me?" After this is done, stop and ask them to see if there are anything else that you have provoked them to anger. Let them talk. Hear them out. Then apologize and respond according to what I've just shared earlier. When all the above is done, ask them, "Would you please pray for Daddy, Mommy, and help me not to respond in fleshly emotions? Ask them to pray for you and lay their hands on you to pray. When they are done praying, tell them, "Oh, my precious son, daughter, thank you for forgiving me and praying for me. I'm really sorry for the pain or anger I've caused you throughout the years." Give them a tight hug and give them a kiss on the face or something and continue. If daddy and mommy accidentally does something like this again, would you please tell me immediately, and I would apologize to you right away. By the way, when you're apologizing to them, don't speak to them from a top-down stance. If your child is younger or smaller, get down to the same height as them, either by kneeling or sitting down so you're at the same level. By doing the above, you've started the reconciliation process, and I want to encourage you to keep your promise. I've heard teenagers express that, "My dad said he will change, but he's all talk. He's never changed." I'm going to end with this. Set an example and humble yourselves before your sons and daughters and seek reconciliation with sincerity. By doing this, you're helping your sons and daughters to release the bitterness that they may have against you. Don't let your wrongdoing build upon one another in their memory, because eventually it will be a lot harder to get rid of these bitterness in their heart. Your teenagers are watching you. They are looking to see if you are listening to what's been said to you and how you are responding to them. They are looking to see if they can see the life of a Christian in their parents. Parents, win back your sons and daughters with unconditional love and true acceptance. Let us pray. Abba Father, we thank you for this opportunity to speak to the parents of teenagers. We pray that you would reveal to the parents in which areas they have hurt their child or have provoked their sons and daughters to anger. We pray for reconciliation between the generations. We ask that you take away any barrier that is between them. We thank you for your faithfulness and know that you will bring about changes that brings healing. We thank you, and amen.